Welcome to Renegade Breakthroughs, the show where we cut through the noise, show you the clear path forward, and help passionate entrepreneurs break through invisible barriers so they can achieve more, earn more, and make a much bigger impact. Robert Imbriale is a best-selling author of Motivational Marketing, and for nearly 30 years, he has helped thousands of business owners finally see what's really been running their results from behind the scenes. If you're ready for real transformation and lasting success, you're in the right place. Let's go!
On that terrible day, September 10th, 2025, our greatest evangelist for American liberty became immortal. He's a martyr now for American freedom.
You know you are part of something bigger than yourself. You know that you are part of the most exciting, diverse, powerful movement in the history of this country. This movement is about the citizens versus the oligarchs. This movement is about we the people versus the ruling class. This movement is about America versus the globalists. This movement is about all of us against them.
One of my favorite sayings of the Bible, in Hebrew it is Hineni, here I am. It means, Lord, use me. What are my marching orders? Abraham, at the binding of Isaac, he said, Lord, here I am. Moses, at the burning bush, Lord, here I am. Samuel, Isaiah, here I am. It means, give me the orders. Here I am, Lord, use me.
That's a lot of people you call, I'll tell you what.
He transformed the face of conservatism, and in doing so, he changed the course of American history.
You still live in the greatest nation ever to exist in the history of the world. There is still so much to be hopeful and to be thankful for. Have that posture of here I am. I can't wait to see how this whole story plays out. The stakes are high. We have only begun to fight.
Hard to go back to those memories. It was September 10th, 1 year ago. Yeah, hard to believe. I wanted this show to be a little different today. I didn't want it to be a somber show, and I know it's kind of that way a little bit because we got Charlie Kirk, 1 year anniversary of his assassination, and tomorrow you're looking at 25 years since 9/11. So there's a lot of stuff going on and bringing up a lot of memories for people. And what I wanted to do is instead is kind of turn this around a little bit and give you some guidance on how to deal with these traumatic experiences. And I've got a lot of content. I was working with AI this morning and I said, I don't want to do the normal show. I don't want to do the normal format. I want to do something a little bit different. And I want people to leave with a feeling or a sense of, I got this, right? I got this. I can get through this. I can handle it. And I think it's real important to do that. So we're going to go through that. That's going to be a big part of the day today. This is episode 12. If you can believe it, we've been doing this show 12 weeks already. How quickly time flies. I literally can't believe that it's Thursday again because it just feels like it's Monday. It's like, where did the week go? The weather here has been extremely hot. For my Arizona friends, we were at 117, almost 118 yesterday. So starting to get, we actually were warmer here yesterday than Vegas. if that makes any sense. I know this El Nino year, things are a little bit messed up. It's crazy. Anyway, so this episode, I'm going to get started real quick here, is not about the conspiracies, right? Because we don't know. I don't think anybody has, we all have ideas. We all have our beliefs about what 9/11 was about, what Charlie Kirk was about, what COVID was about, all of it, right? All these different traumatic experiences. We don't ever seem to get the truth. There's a lot of misinformation, disinformation. There's cover-ups. There's, all the stuff we're used to. And some people will believe what the government tells us, and that's the FBI telling us, and they'll just take that story and say, well, this is it. Look, the officials, the authorities said this. And then you take the other track and you start looking into it for yourself, and what you'll find is the official track is way off track. Right? It doesn't even begin to tell the entire story. So we're not going to get into that part today, because that's a different conversation, different direction. We all have our opinions, and you see the infighting too, even on our side, right? It's like, no, it was this, no, it was that, nobody can kind of come to an agreement. And I think the agreement here is, let's agree that we all have an opinion about this, and none of us really have the truth. None of us will ever probably have the truth. We still don't know who killed JFK. We still don't know who killed Martin Luther King, right? So you can go 63 years ago, JFK was killed, and they still covered it up. Oh, we're releasing the files. Guess what? The information wasn't in the files. Gee, what a surprise there, huh? Yeah. So, we're never going to have that truth, I don't believe. And, it's just going to leave it up to our individual feeling. But really, the focus for today is looking at you, looking at me, looking at us as a society and our reaction to these events, and whether or not they're really designed, to keep us in fear. One thing that came up after 9/11, we traumatized not just the Americans. We traumatized a lot of some countries were celebrating. Let's face it, right? That was true. But countries around the world, when they saw those towers fall again and again and again, they were traumatized. And I wonder sometimes about, if that is the real intent? Because what happens when a person is traumatized? They start to narrow down their vision. They start to narrow down the possibilities. What they want is they want to get out of that as quickly as possible. If you remember after 9/11, George W. Bush, W, as we like to call him, had a 95% approval rating, right? Because we're clinging on to, we need somebody to lead us out of this horrible situation. And then what happened is they came along with what? They slapped the Patriot Act down on us. And I remember very distinctly 25 years ago when that was signed into law, how many rights we just snap of the finger gave up. We've been fighting for them for generations, fighting for our freedom, fighting to get government off our back, fighting. And in an instant, the Patriot Act removed all of those. If you go through that, go look it up online, go read the Patriot Act. Your hair will stand on end on the things that we gave up, that we had prior to that. So you have to wonder, it's like, was that intentional? Or did they just use the situation to take advantage? Because that Patriot Act was not something that was drafted overnight. And within 2 weeks, I think it was very quick after 9/11, that was law. And we were all like, at that point, we were so much in trauma. We were, do something, anything, okay, that sounds good, just do that. Yeah, we're going to stop the terrorists, we're going to stop their financing, we're going to make the banks, really look at people's backgrounds and take fingerprints and blood samples and who knows what else, right? It just, all of it. Well, that really took away a lot of our freedoms, and because we're in a traumatic space, right, at that point, we didn't care. And it keeps getting reauthorized, by the way. So it's not like, oh, Trump will come in, he'll get rid of it. No, it keeps getting reauthorized. Under Trump, it's been reauthorized. So, we have to look at this kind of thing. All right. September 10th, this was obviously a tough day last year, and tough day here even today, because we're still, reliving that, if you will, because all the videos and you look at I look at the feed on X and it's all Charlie Kirk, right? There's hardly anything else but Charlie Kirk on the feed. How could you not relive that experience, right? So that was a year ago that he was shot and killed while speaking at the outdoor campus event at Utah Valley University. 12:23 p.m. Mountain Time was when the shot was fired, apparently, right? We don't know. The government says it was a shot. Was it an exploding microphone? Was it somebody up front? Was it an assassin? We got a lot of questions that just aren't getting answered. That was a year ago already. Turning Point USA today is holding a memorial. They call it Freedom Built to Last, and they cancel all the classes over there. And oh boy, a student protest is planned at the same time. I haven't heard anything yet about that, but that's probably going to be there as well. The new university president says he's attending both the memorial and the protest. They still can't make up their mind which side of this they're on, that university over there. All right. One line that stuck with me here is a student reporter told us a lot of us are trying to get over it. How do you get over it? How do you get over trauma? We're going to talk about that today. It's really important. So tomorrow, 25 years, 2,983 names will be read at the Memorial Plaza in Manhattan. 7 moments of silence this year. They, one for each tower hit, each tower that fell, the Pentagon, Flight 93, and a new one, get this, a new moment of silence for all those who have died afterwards. There's actually more that died afterwards that died in the initial event. Cancers, lung disease, heart disease, all of it, that they were exposed to so much toxicity. I remember the World Trade Centers, after they went down, the fires were deep underground because there's subway under there. And it goes, you know, New York is, you know, the way they build it, it's not just the tower. It's, you know, many stories underground as well. And they couldn't get to the fire, and it burned for weeks and weeks and weeks. There was smoke coming out. Who knows what was burning, but it was very toxic, and a lot of people got sick. So they're having a 7th moment of silence remembering those people. I think, okay, that makes sense, right? That's they were part of the event. They were trying to do the right thing, and they were exposed to these toxins, and they get remembered. At least that's important. All right. where were you? I think a lot of people will remember where they were on 9/11, right? I don't think that's an easy thing. You may remember where you were last year when you saw the Charlie. I was sitting actually right here when we heard about Charlie Kirk, and you know, then all of a sudden you're glued to it. Okay, what's going on? Is he going to be okay? Are they going to be able to operate? Are they going to be able to save him? You know, and it was that kind of a day, and everything I think at that point really stopped. But 9/11 was interesting. Here on the West Coast, I had just started seeing Phoebe. I think we met, this is less than a year before. And she had called me, and she said, the towers in New York City, they're gone. And I said, what do you mean the towers are gone? Yeah, the World Trade Center, they're gone. They're just gone. And I said, I was half asleep. I was just waking up. I'm like, what is she talking about? The towers are gone. I don't get it. So got dressed, hopped in the car. My office was only about a mile away at that time. I was living close by to where I was working. And I went into the studio, and I had this really old television, and put that television up and made a fake antenna because we didn't have cable, obviously. And why would you have cable television at a workplace, right? And we picked up the live network broadcast, and it was real snowy and foggy, and you could see the video of it. And, you know, the day stopped again. And everyone in the office, we had like 10 or 15 people in the office at the time, everyone just sat there in stunned silence, right? You can read that as trauma. It's a very traumatic experience. Some people were in tears. Some people didn't know what to do. I was just sitting there saying, I don't understand this. And my analytical brain kicks in, and I start to go, what's going on here? What's really happening here? And then we heard, you know, the Pentagon was hit, and then another airplane crashed, and then there was a full ground stop where they stopped every airline. Every airplane came out of the sky, everything. And I had an experience back then. Let me share this with you here, if I can find the photo. I was taking flying lessons. This is just before 9/11, like literally weeks before. And I was learning to fly that little Cessna there, and when 9/11 happened, they grounded everybody, and they grounded general aviation for 90 days. That school that I was at didn't survive. They didn't have enough money to make it through 90 days and pay for all the loans on the aircraft and the rental space at the airport, and they relied on the students, and because they couldn't have us there because that was that they were all shut down. Nobody could fly. It was really tough on them. So they actually went out of business, and it was sad too, because on that day, We were practicing stalls. I don't know if you ever heard that term before. When an airplane stalls, right, what happens to the airplane? It stops flying, and instead of going up and flying normally, it stalls and it goes whoop, straight down. So we were practicing that. He had us up at 4,500 feet and then slowing the engine down, putting in more flaps. And before you know it, the airplane just went whoop like that straight down. And it scared him because it was much steeper a drop than he thought. He didn't think it was going to go at 90 degrees like that. And for some reason, I had the very natural reaction of what to do. Put the power back on the engine, bring the flaps back up, and then slowly pull back on the yoke to pull that nose back up. And he goes, "You've done this before." I said, "No, I've never done this before." And he was white. I looked at him and he was white as a ghost. He's like, "I didn't expect it to do that." I'm like, "Yeah, neither did I." But we pulled out of it and we were fine and did it a couple more times to get used to it. But that was the game. It was, learning that. And I was excited about learning and becoming a pilot. And they thought that would be a lot of fun. And then after the school went out of business, I just kind of never got back to it. Other things came up in my life and there was, other things to do and I really couldn't get to that. I remember also, and I suppose you do as well, and the reason that we remember these things so well is because when it's a traumatic experience, our senses go on overdrive, right? And that was traumatic. So I remember exactly where I was on 9/11 when I heard that, the exact steps. I also remember March 19th of 2020, when COVID came out. Now, this one was insidious because this was something that was an enemy that you couldn't see, you couldn't touch, you couldn't smell. And they were telling us that even if you had no symptoms, you could be sick, right? And they couldn't invent a better, evil person, evil event than that. And that traumatized a lot of people. Got to put the mask on and everything was shut down. And I remember, my analytical brain goes into overdrive when stuff like that happens. And I was digging into the numbers and seeing everything. And I'm like, they're saying in 99.8% of the people, it's a flu. There's no problem. And we knew this right from the beginning. Right from the beginning, we knew this. So in my mind, I immediately said, there's nothing here to worry about because I did the research. I did the analysis of it, and I found out pretty quickly there really isn't anything here to be concerned about. But that didn't stop the media. Oh boy, they went on overdrive, right? And I remember getting shadow banned on YouTube and not being able to talk about, the normal things you would do to prevent yourself from getting the flu. You don't get the shot. What you do is you up your supplementation. And if you do get the flu, well, there's some homeopathics that work really well to kick it out within just a few hours. And that's all the information I was sharing. And all of a sudden, I got shadow banned. I'm like, oh, what's going on here? Then that was a signal to me that this was much bigger an event than what we thought it was. But it traumatized a lot of people. I remember, I think it was 2 weeks into the quote-unquote lockdown, I decided I'm going to my studio because my work is important because my clients are asking me what in the world's going on, and I needed to get to my office so I could have that conversation, get on Zoom, get on whatever. I didn't have a good internet connection at the house at the time, so I had to go do that. And I remember it's like, okay, well, what was the way that I can do it? Because I didn't know if they had roadblocks. I didn't know if they were turning people back. I didn't know what to expect because I hadn't been out. Then they said at the time, well, if you're in media, if you're in media, you're okay. And I thought, well, I'm in media. Put a bunch of cameras on the passenger seat of the car and got in the car and drove down. And there's nobody on the road. Deserted. Oh, there were people in the Home Depot. There were people at Costco and the grocery stores because apparently the virus doesn't like those stores, doesn't go there. Who knew? And other than that, there was nobody on the road. So I went to my office, I got my work done, and there was no roadblocks, nobody stopping you, nobody asking any questions. And then I realized, it's like, wow, this is really interesting. They've traumatized not just America, they've traumatized all the countries because everybody got shut down. Interesting. So we're gonna take this a little bit deeper. I want to go into this a little bit harder here with you. These events are not exactly the same, but they are related in terms of what links them together was basically the same impact on all of us. And I don't know anybody who really wasn't traumatized, at least a little bit, You know, it's not that you're still traumatized, but, you know, this reminder every year, the, you know, the anniversary of, it just brings it all back, right? And I was going through this stuff today. I'm like, yeah, it's just bringing it all back. And it brought me right back to those moments. And I'm sure it did for you as well. So the question then becomes, okay, how can we do better? How can we do better? And we're going to talk about that today. I think that's really what's important. So here's what's interesting. The similarity, I think, between all of this is how we reacted, or really how your body reacted to it. Millions of people who were nowhere near Utah or lower Manhattan felt it in their chest. They lost sleep. They couldn't focus. They snapped at their spouse. We've seen that. They couldn't get to work. They couldn't get their work done. And if they did go to work, they were kind of useless because their mind was out to lunch, right? We see a lot of this. The truth is, most of us were actually never in danger, right? Not for COVID, not for 9/11, not for Charlie Kirk, not for the Challenger explosion. Not, you can go on, right? We've had so many of these things over the years. But our nervous system doesn't know that. Our nervous system reacted as if we were in danger. And for a lot of people, sadly, that's been going on for 25 years. And every year comes back around, bang, they're triggered again. And they go through it. So let's talk about what actually happens. And when one of these lands, you can actually do something about it, because you have to identify it first, first step, and then you can do something about it. All right, before I get into that, I want to drop this in here real quick. I want you to go over to renegade.club/1110 and download 100 ready-to-use AI prompts. This will teach you how to use AI, which is really important to do. I know a lot of people have been asking me, what do I do with it? This is going to give you a ton of ideas. Actually, it's 110 prompts in there, and I've been using them. Some of them have been really good, you know, for things that I've been doing. They will help you save time if you're in business or, you know, an employee and need to get stuff done for the boss. These things will help you save time, but they'll also teach you, if you read through them, you'll see how prompts are formatted, and you go, oh, I can create prompts, and that's what I need to do. It needs this, this, and this. Look, it's a pattern. They're similar. Each one has, you know, similar pieces to it. It'll teach you a lot. Anyway, it's a free download, renegade.club/110. You go there, and you can download that. All it is required, your first name and your email, and you will be sent that link, and you can download it really easy. Okay. All right, what happens when the world shakes around you? That's really what we're going to look at today. I like this analogy. I got this off of AI, and it says your brain is a smoke detector, which is the amygdala in the brain. It doesn't evaluate. It doesn't ask, is this my city? Is this something I need to be worried about? It sees a threat on television, right, or on your screen, on your phone, and pulls the alarm. Heart rate goes up, stress hormones go up, digestion goes off, your sleep goes off, your thinking is narrowed, right? You're no longer thinking possibility, you're thinking survival, right? When that saber-toothed tiger jumps over the rock, we're not thinking about, you know, hey, what are we going to do for lunch tomorrow? We're thinking about, we've got to survive this situation right here, right now. All of those things are triggered. So it's a five-alarm fire in our brain when these kind of things happen, when we're exposed to it. And we'll go into this in a little bit too, but you have to be aware on 9/11 how many of us were glued to the television for days on end, replaying those videos, replaying those scenes, replaying from this angle and that angle and this guy's take and that guy's take, and it was just on and on and on, right? Builds up. It's hard to fight that off. So we have some reactions. We have fight, flight, freeze, and then no one talks about is fawn. We're going to talk about that. Fight looks like rage posting. How many people did you see posting? And we didn't see a lot of it in 2001, 9/11, because really a lot of people just weren't yet online. We were just coming out of the America Online world. The internet was very new. There were chat rooms, but nothing like today. But today would look like rage posting, people posting a lot of anger. I see that, certainly you do as well. You get to see it. That's rage. That's the fight part coming out. That's the, I'm mad. I need to strike out. There's no one to strike out at. I'm making a post, and it gets it out of their system. But then you read that post, and guess what? You feel the reaction of that. You feel the energy of that. Not good. Flight looks like doom scrolling, right? You're looking for an exit that doesn't exist. How many of you have done that on your phone? You're just like, not there. And you're just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, looking to be entertained, looking, you know, it's like we all get into that. I've had friends sit right next to me in the car, and instead of talking, they're scrolling. Okay, maybe I'm not the best conversationalist. I don't know. Was that what that means? You know, but it's an escape, and it's an escape from what? Because it doesn't lead to anything. So that's what flight looks like. Freeze looks like staring at the screen till 2 a.m. I think a lot of us were frozen. I think a lot of us were frozen when Charlie Kirk was assassinated. I think a 9/11 was, a shuttle was. And I think when COVID came along, a lot of us were. And if you guys were watching my videos back then, if you could get them, you know, we started on Telegram and then we went into, you know, Rumble really didn't exist on our radar until a little bit later, but we started on Telegram. And I was posting videos and telling people, you know, don't freeze. Don't freeze. Don't stop your routine. You know, when everything was locked down, I said, if you get up at 6 in the morning for work, keep getting up at 6 Monday through Friday and try to make your routine as close to the way it was before everything got shut down. Why? That reduces trauma, gives you a sense of stability, gives you a sense of normalcy. When everything gets derailed, that's really hard. That's chaos. And the brain goes, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Try to keep things calm, right? Try to keep things the same as much as you possibly can. Anytime I've been going through a traumatic situation, I always ask this question. This is a very valuable question. What has not changed? Because when you're in trauma, you're focusing on all the things that have changed. And when you go back and focus on what has not changed, you can recover a sense of calm. Okay, what hasn't changed? What is not impacted by this situation? What's the same as it was yesterday? And will be the same again tomorrow, right? And that calms you down a lot. It's heart rate down and brings the stress hormones down. And, you know, you can probably eat again after a while if you do that. But if you're focused only on all the things that you no longer have, all the things that have changed, right, that makes it a lot harder. Fawning. This looks like everybody suddenly agreeing with everybody so that nobody yells at them, right? This is the yes person. This is the person who doesn't want confrontation, doesn't want, it's like, okay, yeah, okay, yeah. And we do that because the media is going to give us a story, if you will. And instead of arguing with the story or questioning the story, sometimes it's just easier to say, okay, there's the explanation without doing the research, without doing any of the digging yourself. So I see a lot of people will do that as well. This is interesting. This is from UC Irvine. After the Boston Marathon bombing, another one of those situations, right? They interviewed 4,675 adults, people who consumed 6 or more hours a day of coverage. Now look at this, 6 or more hours a day of coverage were 9 times more likely to report high acute stress than people that watched under an hour. Now, think about 9/11. Think about Charlie Kirk. How many times have you watched those videos? When that happened back then, how many hours did you invest in watching? Right? I don't know. For me, it was when the Challenger exploded. I didn't go to school that day. I just sat there and watched it. Freaking 12 hours, right? Straight. How did it impact me directly? That event, it was just out there. But when you're watching it, you're glued to it, man, your stress hormones go way up. I remember it was a week before I was like feeling normal again. Charlie Kirk was the same thing. We just watched it again and again. We were hoping he's going to be okay. You know, they got him to the hospital. He's on surgery. And then we heard, oh, he's going to be fine. And then it was a few hours later, President Trump said, you know, sadly he passed away, right? So people who expose themselves to a lot of this is only 6 hours a day, 9 times more likely to report high acute stress. And here's the kicker. This really surprised me. The people who watch more than 6 hours a day, their stress level was higher than the people who were actually present at the event when it happened. You're at the event. You see it in real time, in real life, not through a screen. Your stress is lower than the person who's absorbing this for 6 hours or more watching television. Okay. Prolonged media exposure can turn what was an acute experience into a chronic form of stress. Same team after 9/11, they tracked 1,322 people for 3 years. People watching 4+ hours a day of 9/11 coverage were reporting, get this, doctor-diagnosed physical ailments 2 and 3 years later. Guys, you got to understand, the stress goes in. If you're letting that stress in, you've got to have a way to get it out. Otherwise, it will cause physical pain. So there's these 1,322 people. They tracked them for 3 years. They were watching 4 hours a day or more of 9/11 coverage. They were reporting physical ailments 2 and 3 years down the road. Wow. Makes you wake up a little bit, right? Roxanne Cohen Silver's line, there's no physiological benefit to repeated exposure to graphic images of horror. Zero. It's not staying informed. It's re-injuring yourself on a loop. So you're getting that hit every time you watch that video. Now, here's the thing. You might say, well, what's the way? Do I avoid it? How could you? Right. When Charlie Kirk was murdered, I went to 2 or 3 different clients for work that I was doing. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's seen it. You can't avoid that. What you can do, though, is limit your exposure. Watch it once. Got it. It was horrific. Don't need to see it again. I don't need to keep, you know, giving myself more injections of fear. I don't need that. Just enough to know what's going on. That's it. I was telling people during COVID, same thing. Check in the morning, check your feeds. If there's nothing pertinent for the day, just go about your day like normal. Don't be attached to it all day long. And I know it's hard sometimes because it's like, man, this thing is so big. And COVID landed right in our laps. It wasn't the Charlie Kirk. It wasn't the 9/11. It was in our laps, in our faces, right? We had the mask. We couldn't go to the store. It was hard not to really be paying attention to the news. That was a time that I started to really dig into it because people were asking me, what's going on? I didn't know. For the first time, I didn't know, and I needed to find out. Here's what you can do. I'll give you some ideas. Take a few days and, you know, it may become a few weeks. No calls, no follow-up, no content. You know, people will let me rephrase that. This is not what you want to do. I'm reading it wrong here. This is not what you want to do. This is what they call the frozen week. This is how they're phrasing it here on this document. You take a few days and the few days becomes a few weeks. You're not taking any calls, not doing any follow-up. You're not creating content. There's no revenue, right? I've seen this again and again. I went through it way back when, you know, I had some challenges financially. Money wasn't coming in and the phone was just bill collector after bill collector. I turned the phones off. I didn't answer any phone calls and that made it worse, right? So after an event like this, a lot of people will just kind of shut down. They'll go into freeze mode. They're not interested in business. They're not interested in relationships. They're not interested in going out with their friends. They're not, you know, stop. You've got to keep doing that kind of thing. Your brain generalizes, you know, what they call the doom forecast, right? Your brain will generalize. And I did this, you know, I think a lot of people end up doing this as well. I learned, you don't do that. You know, oh, all this stuff's happening out there and the government and this and that. And then you say, well, the sky is falling. Everything's falling apart. It's going to get worse. And what you do is you project that into your future. And that's what you're manifesting as your experience. So you got to be able to segment that out and say, okay, that's happening over there. It's not landing in my lap today. May never land in my lap. I have runway today. I'm going to use that runway. I'm going to do what I can do today to take that next step forward, whatever that happens to be. Yeah, there's the rage detour. I like this one. You spend your best creative hours during the day arguing with strangers about the event. Why would you waste all your energy? Why would you waste all your energy doing that? That is absolutely ridiculous. There are people who do it. You know, and then there's the guilt one. I went through this one. How can I sell a course when people out there are dying? How can I do a seminar? Look what's going on out there. People are starving. The economy sucks. How can I? Right? All the excuses that you could use. And this is not a good thing. The just get over it trap. Right? The UVU student said it. It doesn't work. You don't get over trauma by ignoring it. It lives inside you. And it will show itself physically. Right? You'll have physical ailments. Heart issues, adrenal issues, right? You'll have liver problems. This is where we store all our emotions. Gallbladder issues, right? So get over it. Not good advice. Doesn't get you there. Let's go through. I'm going to go through this in a minute. All right. So I'm going to give you the good news in a minute here, how to get over it, because that's really the core here, because I really want to make sure that you walk away feeling like, I got this. I'm going to be able to walk through it. It's going to be okay. But before I do, we should take a little commercial break here, if we will. It was interesting. I was at getting my hair cut. Nice job, huh? Nice haircut. Yeah, I like it. She did a good job this time. And my hairstylist, a couple of appointments ago, was telling me about her dog and how challenged he was. He was up all night scratching and scratching and scratching. And she's like, we spent so much money on different shampoos trying to, you know, get him to stop scratching, to calm it down. Nothing worked. So I said to her, let me send you a link. I've got something. Maybe it'll help. Maybe it won't. I don't know. You can try it for 30 days. If you don't like it, they'll give you your money back. And she said, great. What is it? And I sent her the pet club information. I said, renegademedia.tv/pets. I sent her that link. And I said, go get the special sauce and give it to your dog. Teaspoon a day, teaspoon in the morning, teaspoon in the evening, you know, and let's see what happens. 18-year-old dog, you know, she's thinking, you know, nothing's going to work. So I went there on, when did I go? I went there on Tuesday of this week. Monday was Labor Day. So I went on Tuesday and I asked her, how's the dog doing? And she could not stop thanking me. She was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. He's sleeping through the night. He's not scratching anymore. His fur is so much softer. He's got more energy. That's an 18-year-old dog. She's blown away. So much so, she took the link and gave it to her daughter. Her daughter ordered the stuff too. So, you know, it's certainly worth giving a shot. I know a lot of people here, are trying it as well. Renegademedia.tv/pets. Go there. Give it a shot. You're really going to love it. Your dog, your cat, your horse, and they even have stuff for you, the human. Good stuff. Okay. I will get back to, how do we solve the problem now? How do we keep trauma from taking over your life? This is a good question, and Phoebe and I were having this conversation. It says, you can't just talk about trauma and not give people the solution. I said, of course I'm going to give them the solution. Why would I not give them the solution, right? I have to. Yeah. Okay. So they're saying here, controlling the dose, which means the never watch is probably not the right approach. One check-in once a day, one source. And if you really need to, you set a timer. I got 15 minutes. I'm going to check in with the news and then I'm off. I don't want to see any more. That works. Kill autoplay. Mute the words for 48 hours, which means your algorithm, right? If you start clicking on the Charlie Kirk videos, it's going to feed you more and more and more and more of those. Can't do that. Click on other things. Some cat videos, some dog videos, you know, something that's maybe entertaining if you need that. And do that, and it's fine, and just let it go. You don't have to keep watching it over and over again. Anniversaries are re-exposure days by design. Tomorrow the footage runs all day. Decide tonight how much of it you're going to watch. I'm going to watch very little. I've seen so much of it over the years. I really don't need to see more, right? I don't need to bring up all those memories again and all those feelings. Not a good idea. So here's a strategy that, I don't know if this one works, and I've never tried this one, but this one came out. I'm going to share it with you. It's saying that you have to name what you're feeling. Give it a name so you can tame it. Name it to tame it is what they're proposing here. I got to try this. I'm curious to know if it works. So you could say I'm scared, I'm furious, I'm numb. Putting a label on the feeling takes power away from the alarm. The label, it says here, is the off switch that nobody uses. That's interesting. I'm going to try this. I think this might be a valuable tool. We don't name it sometimes. We just hold it inside. We won't talk about it. You know, it's like, but you can name it to yourself. You don't need to tell other people about it. Hey, I'm feeling scared or whatever. You don't have to say anything. Name it for yourself. That's all that matters, right? And once you name it, you know, maybe that'll help and turn off the trauma switch a little bit for you. Journal it. And it says here, 3 lines, not 3 pages. Don't go on and on and on about it. Just journal it. Here's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling scared. This event terrified me. This event made me feel, you know, vulnerable, you know, whatever. Journal it. Now it's out of your system. It's almost like telling somebody. Our journaling is very good. It's almost like telling somebody something. And you know, when you tell somebody something that's going on, it reduces the stress, right? No longer do you feel alone. You don't have anybody, you got a journal. And it's easy to do that. I would say don't journal on AI at this point. We're a lot of problems with AI and privacy at this point, so probably not the best place, but you know, get a little notepad and you journal in there. This way nobody has to see it. It's just you and your journal. That's all it needs to be. This one is, the next one is what Tony Robbins teaches. Motion is modified or impacted by motion. So emotion, right, is impacted by how you move your body. So you're feeling stressed. What do we do when we're stressed? If you just sit there and shake your leg and, you know, and you just sit in that space all the time, it doesn't go away, right? It's a pattern. So you got to break the pattern. You got to change how you move your body, how you use your body. I'm not going to say turn on your music and start dancing. Some people, when they're in stress, that's a long way to go. They're not going to be able to reach that. But what they can do is they can stand up. You can go for a walk, go for a jog, right? And that changes everything. Steve Jobs was notorious for this. When he had stressful negotiations to do, he would take whoever he's with and he said, hey, let's go for a walk. And they would walk sometimes for hours and have great conversations, and it reduced the stress for both of them. And they came to great agreements. And it's one of the tricks, if you will, of how he built Apple. Walking. Literally, take the stress out of the situation. If you remember, Reagan did that with Gorbachev, right? You got the U.S.-Russia thing. They're at each other's, and he asked Gorbachev to go for a walk. Took the pressure out of it. So you can do that as well. That's a simple tool. You can do it. Let's see here. Stress hormones, they're a fuel for running. I didn't know that. If you don't run, don't sit there. Walk, lift, swim, chop wood, anything. I love chopping wood. Anything that finishes the loop your body started, which is the trauma loop, right? For me around here at the farm, recently it's been, I'm going to go weed whack for a couple of hours. And, you know, that gets it out. That gets the energy going. Sleep is non-negotiable. So if you're feeling this way, sleep is very, very important. You can't just, you know, a lot of people won't sleep. They'll toss and turn. You got to do whatever you can to sleep. And that means, and this is not just in a traumatic situation, always now, take the screens out of the room. You don't sleep with your phone by your bed. You don't sleep with your iPad by your bed. You don't have them on the charger, especially on the charger. Man, they emit EMFs like crazy when they're on the charger. So don't, out of the room. Put them in the hallway, put them in the kitchen, somewhere away from you, right? We live for generations, thousands of years with no phones. So if an emergency in the middle of the night, somehow it'll get to you, right? You don't have to have your phone next to your head with all that radiation. So take them out of your phone, take them out of your room. They're not helpful. They won't let you sleep, especially screens right before bed. Melatonin gets all messed up and bang, you're wide awake again because your body says, oh, sunlight. No, it's iPhone. Oh, but it feels like sunlight. You must be awake. I know it's 11 o'clock at night, but let's wake you up. We don't want that. We want to put that away. It's a real important thing to do. This one I really love. This is so important. And was the reason that when Lewis created the Truth Tour, and Bruce and I met on the Truth Tour, I met Lewis on the Truth Tour, I met so many people on the Truth Tour, why that was so important at that time, not so much now, but at that time, why it was so important is because all of us were what? 6 feet apart. Don't go see grandma. If you breathe near her, you'll kill her. We were isolated. And I got to tell you something, although we have more ways to communicate right now as human beings than any time in history, we are also the loneliest society to ever walk the face of the planet. We think we've got a screen in front of us. We've got access to the world and we've got information. What we don't have is people. So here it's saying, get in a room with humans. Isolation is the accelerant. Research on post-traumatic growth is blunt about it. The people who come out better are the ones who talked it through with someone who didn't judge them. Right? Isn't that what a coach does? Like, what do you do as a coach? I listen. I have a coach's ear. I listen. I guide by questioning, but I don't give advice. People don't need advice. People need to be listened to. They need to be heard. They need to ask the questions that help them uncover what the issues are. And when they walk away, whoo, they're feeling so much better. Changes everything. Changes the dynamic, no question. All right. Here it says, call one person, not a post, not a thread, a voice. And I'm going to go one step further and say a hug, right? I hug everybody. When you see me, I hug everybody. It doesn't matter, young, old, black, blue, it doesn't make any difference. You're an ET, you're going to get a hug. Maybe that's not a good idea. I don't know. But I hug everyone because that human connection is so critically important. So critically important. So if you're feeling these things, worst thing you can do is be by yourself. Get out there. Go meet someone. And then, you know, there's a lot of people in the chat room right now who are doing this. Here's the other one that works really well. This is in the, if you look at the 6 human needs that Tony Robbins always talks about, this is contribution. This is a very important one. We all have a need for growth and we all have a need for contribution. This one is contribution. Do one useful thing for somebody else. We will always do more. We talked about this previously. We'll always do more for others than we'll do for ourselves. And I got to tell you something. If you're feeling traumatic or traumatized or stressed, doing something for someone else and watching their joy releases all of that. Such an amazing feeling. I give all the time. I give up my time. I give up my, you know, my knowledge, my skills, always giving away. Maybe too much sometimes. And I do it because it feels so good to help somebody. It feels so good to see them thrive because of something you did. Could be as simple as, let me help you take the groceries in, right? I was walking in the parking lot in the grocery store a year ago or so, and this woman had a whole case of soda, and she tried to put it in the car, and it fell, and cans went everywhere. Another guy was walking by, just walked right by, didn't even do anything. I stopped, pushed the cart aside, helped her. She was blown away. She's like, oh my God, this is the nicest thing anyone's done for me. Made me feel good. Made her feel good, right? So we can do that. And it doesn't take much. There's always people in need. Right? This is one thing in our society. It's always somebody who needs something. So, City Blossoms is a flower shop a few blocks from Ground Zero. Listen to this story. Every vase in the store was shattered on 9/11. The owner, Ina Lipovsky, I guess is the way you pronounce it. Boy, my pronunciation's off today. She didn't close the store after that. She kept making arrangements, floral arrangements. She kept doing it even after the store was shattered. All the vases were broken. She kept doing it, and here's her vision. Everyone knew someone who died. Her line, you have to stay on your feet no matter what. Didn't I tell you that, right? Stay strong, remain flexible, stay strong, stay on your feet. Good advice. Bubby's in Tribeca. Chef Ron Silver watched the first tower fall, got his kid from school, then snuck past the barricades and made pancakes for the first responders, doing something for somebody else. Neighbors started dropping socks and eyewash at his door. And he said, I never considered closing down or that New York wasn't coming back. He always had that belief that it would. So he looked at what he could do, saw the situation, said, what can I do for somebody else? I'm a chef. I'm making pancakes. Firemen are hungry. Pretty cool. Yeah, it'll be interesting. You can zoom out a little bit too. I do this sometimes. I think this is a really good tool. You know, what will this look like 25 years from now? Will we still be doing the 9/11 remembrance celebration 25 years from now, the 50-year anniversary of it? Will we still be doing that, or will it have diminished? Will enough people, a lot of people that experience it, won't be alive anymore? Will we still keep that going, or will it finally, you know, just be a black page in our history book, where it won't be something that's always bringing up all this trauma year after year? I think it will. I think it'll go that way. Anyway, I think there's a lot to be learned here. I got to tell you something. This is pretty cool. Psychologists, these two, Ted Deschi and Calhoun. Calhoun's easy to pronounce. Study this trauma for 30 years. A large share of people who go through something terrible report coming out with real lasting gains in five specific areas. So what's the upside to going through trauma? Good question. What is the upside of going through all the trauma, right? What does it look like? Well, personal strength. That's why Tony Robbins has the fire walk, by the way, in his seminar. If you can walk on fire, what else can you do? So somebody will say, if I survive that, if I survive 9/11, I can handle this. I can handle whatever life throws at me. Makes you a lot stronger, right? Instead of being weakened by it, you learn from it. Get stronger that way. Relationships. Relationships are deeper. They may have fewer relationships, but they're a lot stronger, right? And I think that's the real kicker here, is once you've been through something traumatic like that, you tend to appreciate those around you a whole lot more, and you're a lot closer to them, right? The connection's a lot deeper. And it says here, realer. I don't know what realer means, but if it's deeper, that's really all I'm interested in. You find a lot of people who go through traumatic situations have a better appreciation for life because they know it can be snatched away in an instant. Those people who went to work on that Tuesday morning on 9/11, they're just going to work. They're going to do their job. They're going to get home, play with the kids, feed the dog. They didn't have that opportunity. So those who have been through it, saw it, traumatized by it, when they got over it, they got through it, not over it, they got through it, they have a deeper appreciation for life, right? You could see that. That kind of makes a lot of sense. They also will start to see new possibilities that maybe weren't available to them in the past because they wouldn't see them. Now, I've been teaching this for years and years and years to my entrepreneurial friends. It's like, there is always opportunity in front of you. Problem is, you can't see it. So after a traumatic experience, people realize, wow, there are a lot more opportunities around. I'm looking more around now. I'm seeing more things. I don't have to be trapped by this. I can actually do this or do that. And why not? Isn't that what life's about? Try something new. You don't want to be sitting in the same job for 40 years. Go try something new. Do something different. And, you know, the other one, the fifth one, is spiritually. They grow as well. What's the meaning of life? Why am I still here? Why did my friend perish and not me? And you know, they have a lot of spiritual growth. So the plus side to going through the trauma is that it helps you grow. That's the plus side. And we want to make sure that you get that message more than anything, is that, you know, it's traumatic. We know. It's challenging. We know. You can't ignore it. It'll come out physically. You don't want that. But you want to get through it. You want to grow from it. You want to get stronger. You want to have deeper feeling, deeper appreciation for life. And I think that's the benefit of why that's there. In Abraham's speak, they always talk about, you know, you have to have the contrast so that you can want the better, right? The contrast is the bad stuff. You've got to see the bad stuff, but you don't live there. You say, this is bad. I don't want that. What I want is over here, and that's where the manifestation happens. If it was all good all the time, how would we grow? right? That's a good question. Everything's perfect. Everything's perfect. You live in Happyville. Everyone's happy. Everyone's got everything they need. Sounds really good, but you'd be bored so fast, right? You'd have to screw something up just to have some variety. So contrast is important. We have to almost have the traumatic experience, the bad thing, but you don't live in it. You look at it and go, I don't like that. What I'd like instead is more peace. I'd like more people to get along. I'd like things to be built different. I'd like, you know, a government to be better. I'd like less corruption. I'd like, you know, whatever. And then we manifest over there. We don't focus always on the bad. We focus on bad stuff. That's not so fun. What we really want is, and we put our attention there. And if we do that, then we win. Then all of this goes better. And we grow and we take the society and take ourselves to the next level. And things just get better and better. You guys got this. You know this stuff. I already know it. You know it. All right. I want to let you in on a little. Let me go back a couple of slides here on my deck. And there we go. People are asking me about this and said, where is the Renegade Breakthrough Show? Where can I find it? Well, it is streamed live, official Renegade Media on YouTube, Renegade Media on Rumble. On X, it's Renegade Media TV, and it's streaming now. I've been checking. Facebook, it's the Renegade Breakthroughs. So it's facebook.com/cornerpage is how you'd find that. Or you could just look up Renegade Breakthroughs. It'll show up as well. On Twitch, RobertI999. But here's the thing. If you go to robertimbrielli.com/listen, it'll take you to a list of all the different podcast providers, Apple Music, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn Radio, and there's a bunch more podcast aggregators that, you know, just choose your favorite and you'll find the podcast there. It is mostly on those, with the exception of iTunes, it is mostly just audio only. So if you want the video version, it's going to be iTunes or it's going to be, you can go to robertimbrielli.com, click on podcast, and you can watch it right there on the website as well. And it's a great place to do that. Okay, couple of things coming up next week. We're going to have a guest. I'm just been working at booking guests for the show because it's boring just watching me here for an hour. I want to have some guests on here. I've got the four in the pipeline already, and there's more that I'm communicating with, and we'll have some different opinions and different points of view. It'll be a lot of fun. Also in October. The Awakening Summit is coming back. You guys remember that from last April. And if you remember, I hosted the live stream. I'm going to be doing that again. This time it is a 3-day event. So it's a Friday, October 16th, Saturday and Sunday, all day. They have more than 30 different speakers. It's happening in Clearwater, Florida, which is close to where Bruce is, not too far from where he is. So he's going to be on site. Lewis is going to be on site. But I'm going to be here in California. I'm going to be taking the feed and I'm going to be putting it up and sending it out. It is a $48 ticket for the online version if you want to watch that. And we'll give you more information as we go. But you can go to theawakeningsummit.org right now. I don't think the online tickets are for sale yet, but just the in-person ticket. If you're in Florida and you're close by, you want to go in person, that would be the best choice. Because you get to make connections and meet people that you haven't met before. And, you know, that's always a lot of fun. Remember, getting around people, that is so critical for us human beings. We're not meant to be alone ever, right? So we can do that. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. I have some more stuff for you as well. Some of the people that I'm speaking with, it's kind of interesting, their stories and what they're going to bring. I'm always looking for somebody who had a challenge in life, who overcame it, and, you know, we'll share the story of what they did, you know, to take things to the next level, because we can all learn from it, right? Doesn't matter if you're in business or not in business, you can learn from people's rags to riches stories, if you will. So we're going to be doing a lot of that. Guys, thank you so much for being here. I try to keep these things to the hour, I appreciate you sharing them. I appreciate your thumbs up, and lots of love to all of you. And I'll see you next Thursday with another Renegade Breakthroughs. Thanks for watching. See you soon.